to your mother. It's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just a couple of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eating teams like bacon, steaks, and cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo and Sheila in the cut, kicking it cooler than two penguins till Bo's old arch nemesis Greg Cosell shows up and it gets real. Pull up a branch and chill, it's time to get ill with some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird skips the worm and prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo Wolf and Shuka Potty are coming at you with stats and things flapping their wings.
I'm gonna have the rest of my life with these kids. Wow. We gotta get that in a drop immediately.
We're editing that one out. That didn't come out quick.
There's no editing. No editing on this podcast.
That's the one rule of Birds with Friends. No editing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Monday afternoon. I would say a somber week here at Birds with Friends. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, and Zach, I think I, like you, am curious what the rest of the Kapadia family is doing. Can they fit inside the house while Shiel's head continues to grow to such expansive portions?
I didn't know where you were going with the somber mood. There's so many different directions.
I think the number one thing that's going on in our world right now is that we need to just make sure that Shield doesn't get too big of a head.
I think you're obviously referring to our golf wagers, Bo, from this weekend, which you're right. My head did get big there. No one ever told me that gambling on golf was this fun. I mean, where has this been all my life? You sent me a couple picks. I like everything about it. You can play some
Fantastic.
Wagers. You can play some wagers before the tournament. You get some long shots who you root early on. Then if they're out of it, you can wake up Sunday morning, place another couple wagers. The odds on everything are great. So it's like if you win, you end up winning some cash. And Bo, I mean, how about you with those? The pick of the champion Sunday morning. You send me the text. We put a little lettuce on it. I was feeling great Sunday night.
Big Colin Morikawa. I tell you what, I actually put a little lettuce on Colin after the first round when he didn't have a good round. So I got to double up on Mr.
I could have taken that advice.
Yeah, what? I mean, where was my text for that one?
I didn't want to overwhelm you.
Oh, my God. Listen, the only time I'm happy that you text me is with gambling stuff. And here, you mess it. Oh, that's unbelievable. Yeah, you sent me picks before the tournament. Tommy Fleetwood was one of them, which was I thought that was a good pick. He was in the mix.
Oh, yeah, these are the odds.
That's all you can ask for.
And then and Patrick Cantlay was the other one I gave you.
It was fine, yeah. But then I didn't hear from you until Sunday where you gave me Morikawa. I mean, I could have used those odds earlier. Wow, okay, so it's your head that we should be worried about.
Well, I also, I made some other bets that didn't pan out. You don't want to go along for the full ride.
What odds did you get on Colin?
Colin was, I think, plus 900 on Sunday morning.
You said you did it, though, on Friday morning?
Yeah, that one was, I think it was something like, I want to say like $5 to win like 200 or something.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, all right, you're looking good.
Well, yeah, this is a great start to the episode, got to say, I'm sure, for our listeners. But, of course, I was also referring to the results from the Jeffrey Lurigle draft, which we can get to, and the gambit that Shiel made to assume that the vast majority of the population would not read the rules paid off for him. And then, of course, a competing podcast, Zach, as you have referred to it, goes into something else. Marissa, why don't you drop that for us?
Oh, God.
The burning question here. Who does Bill Barnwell read?
Oh, no. Who do I read about in football?
Yeah, like, because...
All right, I give you one name who I think is phenomenal, who I think is going to be... who I think is, if not the best already, is going to be the best, and that's Shiel Kapadia, who writes for The Athletic, who used to cover the Eagles, used to cover the Seahawks, now is their national writer, who's phenomenal. Just like...
Yeah.
In terms of breadth of knowledge, in terms of... You know, I'm not a trained journalist. I didn't go to journalism school. I have no background in that. You know, I'm pretty much just writing in my apartment. But Shiel has actual training and actual skill and, like, actually talks to people and, you know, has insight that I don't have. So he's the person where I read him and I'm like, you know, how can I put it? Like if I read him and he disagrees with me, I think I'm wrong. As opposed to, like when I read someone else and I'm like, that's bullshit, I'm right. They don't know what they're talking about. Like, Shiel and Greg Rosenthal, who works for NFL Network, are the two people I read where I'm just like, okay, if this person disagrees with me, I got to reconsider my opinion because they're probably right.
I mean, talk about your all-time gazups.
I guess I didn't make much of an impression on Chris Long during those 2 years, huh? Jeez, come on, Chris. You know, we had a couple of good conversations in there.
I think what Bill said has validity, although I think she'll surprise he didn't say Tim McManus. So.
I like that. That's good. All right. Well, we do have some stuff to get to on this episode today. There's some Eagles news, some transactions. We've talked to some guys on Zoom, and then of course we have your questions in getting a bird in edgewise. So let's set sail. Away we go. Zach, what's the number one biggest thing? Vinny Curry or Jatavis Brown?
I would say Vinny Curry.
I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, because Vinny Curry's going to play this year. The Eagles signed Vinny Curry, 32 years old, to be their number three or number four defensive end. The three of us graded this on The Athletic, so you can see our full comments there, immediate reaction. But my big takeaway here was that the Eagles, they didn't necessarily look for an upgrade because this is someone who was there last year, but they felt they needed someone else in that rotation. So they're not necessarily gambling on the youth like we might have thought a week or two ago.
And gotta let the young guys play like they said at linebacker.
And they're not necessarily looking for like the big splash, if you will, or to look for the big upgrade. They're basically holding serve on what they had last year.
Yeah, I thought I thought this was the off season where I get you don't get attached to players, you move on from some of the older guys. I mean, my big takeaway, and I think you guys were on the same page, is what does this say about the younger guys? I mean, this is a fourth defensive end spot you're talking about. Like, this isn't somebody who's going to come in and need to play 35.
It should be. I've seen him referred to as the third defensive end, which okay. If he's getting more snaps than Josh Sweat, that's going to be drive us even more crazy. But
yeah, I mean, Zeeburm's boy came out of nowhere last year, and I thought
he was good.
He showed you exactly what you would kind of want from a young, he's still young, a third defensive end. Like, yeah, I would want to see more of him in
top 10 in the league in the Kapadia pass rush index for guys who are 23 or younger.
Okay, all right. That seems like you were sitting on that for a while. So good job getting it out there.
I think that's a sneak peek of what's to come in the next 48 hours.
Yeah. I think that's going to be on The Athletic in the next 48 hours.
No, that one's not 48 hours. That's when the defense is a little bit further along. Okay. But tune in tomorrow for 7,500 words on the players in the offense.
Okay, so there you go. But – yeah, I mean, what does it say? And what is going on with Jannard Avery? I mean, honestly, it's like you hear from people in the front office or you see what they do by giving up a fourth-round pick and you feel like, all right, this is somebody who seems like they at least want to see more of. And they make a move like this. And it's like, is he even going to be playing any snaps for this team? And so between Jannard Avery and Sharif Miller, you trade a fourth-round pick. You use a fourth-round pick to get Avery. These are two guys who should be competing for a fourth defensive end spot, and you should be fine there. Instead, they go out and they get Vinny Curry. So I think, as I wrote, this isn't a move that's going to make or break the season. I'm not going to be up in arms about it, but it does kind of tell you what they think about it tells you what they think about the younger players, or it's a bad process because they have so little confidence in at least giving those guys a shot, where you could probably get somebody like Vinny Curry, after week one or right before week one if you really needed to.
And it's not even just Avery and Sharif Miller. I mean, some people like Joe Osman. I think he's been sort of overrated this whole time. But there's also Casey Tuhill, who they took in the seventh round. So, like, if you can't get one of those four guys to be good enough to be a fourth defensive end, then what are we doing here? And so, like, I get it that if you always had Vinny Curry in the back pocket, and I don't know, maybe there was some pressure from another team and you wanted to get him in, knowing that maybe this season is going to be full of a bunch of guys, going missing, and you overvalue the familiarity. But like, as it was put somewhere else, like the statistical improbability that every time they're bringing someone back, like every time they need to add somebody, it's somebody they're just bringing back, that's the best move out there, is extremely unlikely. And so, go ahead.
No, pressure from another team. I mean, it's August 9th.
Well,
and,
no, I know.
And he hadn't
signed. You're probably right.
So.
Yeah, I don't even know why I'm saying that, but I'm trying to be a little bit generous. Like, why are we? Yeah. Why are you even guaranteeing? Like, Vinny Curry should be brought back so that one of those guys can beat him out for the job. We've talked about this before. He should not be, like, the fact that he's getting guaranteed money, if that is correct, as it was reported, like, it's silly to me. And the flip side is, if this is where it was going to be, like, you were going to evaluate these guys you have and you were going to need to bring in Vinny Curry, then all offseason we were screaming that they needed to add another defensive end, add somebody better than Vinny Curry in April. For like $4 million or something like that, you know? So,
I mean, I didn't even see a need to add a, you know, add a, anybody for significant money at defensive end, to be honest. I mean, I think the obvious move was to let the guys you have on the roster, the young guys, battle it out. And like you said, get some, you know, you can get fourth defensive end snaps from whoever wins that competition. I mean, if you don't have faith that one of those four guys can win that job, like, why are they even on the why are they on an 80-man roster if that's like the bare minimum? I mean, think about last year where, like, it was a similar situation. Josh Sweat wins the job, he gets an opportunity to play, and he does some nice things, and now you're right in a situation where you can see more. Like, you can't do that if you bring back the old guys who are just going to keep playing.
And so I was someone who said that they did need to upgrade at defensive end. I had been saying that throughout the offseason. I didn't think the edge rush was good enough last year. So I was saying Ngakoue, and I was saying around the draft in the second round, third round, look for an edge rusher there. When they didn't do that, then okay, I would be on board with the strategy of going with your young guys, even if I don't necessarily think that's the best strategy. But to bring back Curry at this point, I agree with both of you. And regarding Avery, it's interesting. Howie Roseman said at the end of last season that when they made the trade, they kind of viewed it like he needed a full offseason with the team. And it seems like he took that a little too literally. perhaps he thinks like, oh, no minicamp, no offseason, like no preseason. They're just getting the Jannard Avery of last November.
I sort of, before they brought back Curry, I sort of viewed it as Avery versus Ostman was for one position for that, like if they wanted to actually incorporate that Joker role into the defense, and then it was Sharif Miller versus Casey Tuhill for the other spot, and they would keep five. And now with Curry, it's like it's those four guys, maybe for one spot, maybe for no spots. I don't know. I would still think they're going to keep five, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think they go deeper on the line and lighter at linebacker.
There's literally no one to keep it.
Made that at least easier for him to do.
Gary can be the only linebacker on the roster. That would probably be fine.
So Jatavis Brown retires, or he goes on the retirement
first
list.
Remind people who he is. I mean,
the Eagles signed him back in March to a one-year deal. This is he's following the strong lineage of Corey Nelson and L.J. Fort and Paul Warlow and Zach Brown
and Leroy Reynolds. How would I have that down there? How would you stork rank those six guys? Their Eagles careers.
Boy, though that's quite a murderer's row, as they say.
Those are the last 3 years. The six veteran linebackers they've signed.
So Zach Brown actually played. So
yeah, but Zach Brown was a negative. Like he brought something off the table, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that was only a matter of time before he was going to piss somebody off.
Got to go Leroy Reynolds number one.
Yeah, I like the Leroy Reynolds. He's fine. Downhill thumper.
I think you go Leroy number one. Probably now, you know, L.J. Fort turned out to be a good player on a different team, but at least he played a couple games, so he goes probably number two. Then,
I don't know if I mentioned it on the show or to you guys in passing, but when I went down into the Ravens story, I'm in the locker room one day. There's a crowd around this one guy. Who's that? Oh my gosh. LJ Ford has like six reporters around him. What in the world is going on here? So yeah, he's got to be in the top three, I would think.
I'm going Warlow three, 'cause I think he got a Super Bowl ring and, you know, he helped Martin Frank get some coffee.
Warlow did not. Wasn't that the next year?
Oh, it was the next year.
Yeah, it was 2018.
No, that's too bad. Well, he still gets number three. Then I would go Jatavis Brown over Zach Brown. I feel like this is a fun story that the guy decided to retire before even playing for the Eagles. And then I think Corey Nelson has to be number six.
Well, we don't know if it's going to be a fun story. I mean, hopefully, like, everything's okay. Right. And yeah, so.
So we'll the word there is that he just decided it was time to walk away. I don't know the specifics to this. Perhaps in walkthroughs he saw the pecking order and it might not have been too thrilled. I don't know because I said pecking order.
Yes.
Yeah. The reality is the Eagles, as we know, are not investing much into this linebacker group. Brown was the only notable veteran addition that they had this offseason, or the only veteran addition, I should say.
Right.
They drafted Davion Taylor and Sean Bradley, and they're really, really thin at that group.
And so who else is still there, Zach?
So you have, at the top of the depth chart, Nate Gary and T.J. Edwards. And T.J. Edwards, who is like the Eagles' version of Jarrett Stidham. I mean, they love this guy.
I thought you've already given that to Matt Pryor.
Yeah, to Matt Pryor, but it's even more so with T.J. Edwards.
Yeah, at least Matt Pryor could be on the field for all three downs. I mean, T.J. Edwards, best case. Well, T.J. Edwards, best case scenario is he's a two down thumper, right? I mean, he's not going to be
bringing the heat on T.J. Edwards.
He's not going to be playing in nickel, is he? I mean, that would probably be a problem if he's playing in nickel. So you know,
And so then they have Duke Riley, who they acquired last year, and actually a good trade.
Oh, yeah. One of the best trades of all time.
I mean, no, seriously, Shield. They were cutting Cyprian, or they had no use for Cyprian, right. I guess.
Yeah, Cyprian, I think, was a bum.
I think that's going to win. Doesn't, like, the Sloan Analytics Conference give out that award every year for, like, the best transaction? I think I'm pretty sure.
And they got a pick upgrade.
Yeah, they got a pick upgrade.
That's a finalist, I think.
Yeah. I think it's Howie's best trade since he traded Mike Bell straight up for Jerome Harrison.
Yeah, I disagree there. There was also the trade you have applauded last year, the Rudy Ford deal, because they got Bruce Hector back.
That's true. The ultimate two for one, or two for none.
The audience is joining me and wondering which of these people you guys are talking about are real and which are made up.
So Bruce Hector, who was released yesterday, and earlier last week I sent Shield a text: which of these four players is still on the Eagles roster? And I think it was Bruce Hector, Rashard Davis, Alex Ellis, and who was the other one?
Anyway, I don't know.
You answered Rashard Davis. Text.
Yeah. No, well, that was a good try.
No respect for no nectar.
And so then the Eagles have, after Riley, they have Taylor and Bradley. They have Alex Singleton from last season, and then Dante Olsen, the undrafted rookie. And I believe that is everyone on their linebacker depth chart right now.
Well, in my piece for The Athletic today, I've got a spicy trade for you to get a linebacker. Yeah,
yes,
that's out there. Thanks for noticing. So I've got the Eagles.
I was on kid duty this morning.
Okay, I've got six hypothetical trades, and in one of them, I'm giving Sidney Jones to the Detroit Lions for a linebacker named Jalen Reeves-Maybin, who you've probably never heard of, to be quite honest. So Sidney Jones is obviously a guy who's had barely played here, has been a massive disappointment. Don't know if he's going to have a role at all this season. I guess it would either take an injury or would take him beating out an Avante Maddox for that outside corner job, which seems unlikely. The Lions, of course, have Corey Undlin now as their defensive coordinator, and they've just stockpiled off-ball linebackers. I mean, just a tremendous job of roster building when that's like the only position on your roster that has any kind of talent or depth. So Jalen Reeves-Maybin is a young player. He's 25. He had 13 special teams tackles last year, which ranked fourth league-wide. I think he played about 300 defensive snaps. I watched some clips. He's an undersized, sort of sideline-to-sideline, rangy type guy. He looked like he had a little bit of juice, like he was a good athlete. So I thought that would be a trade that would make sense for both sides.
Look at you doing some homework.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
All right, Zach, before we get to the Zoom stuff, is there anything else that's going on in the Eagles world?
In the Eagles' world, no, those are really the big ones. Nate Gary was activated off of the reserve COVID-19 list. Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, both are still on that list. As far as we know, Doug Peterson is still on that list if one existed for the coaches. And Deuce Staley is running the team. The Eagles are on the field now. They are not doing contact, or they don't have their helmets on yet. Or actually, they might have their helmets on. They're not doing contact, though. And that comes next week. Yeah,
that comes next week, and we are theoretically going to be there.
Yes. Well, I think more than theoretically.
Like, well, to explain this to me, am I allowed to just show up and watch a practice? How does this go?
If you're interested, honestly, I mean, this is something we should talk about off air, but we're on
no,
air.
No, everything's on. I mean,
there are people you can reach out to about that. The Eagles. I mean, there's a limit on the amount of people who are allowed.
There is
at practice
okay.
every day. That being said, you are well respected in the building.
All we got to do is send them that Bill Barnwell audio, and then I think they'll open heaven and earth.
No, see, this is when you have been a bead, you can't take somebody else's spot. I mean, that would be disrespectful. Now, if there's a day where like one of you,
what
can't
about
go,
would you take someone's cubicle?
I would not. No, as
there are no cubicles right now, by the way.
And as you know, no one hated sitting in those cubicles more than me in that place with the various smells and
know.
The bugs.
I feel
and...
like I hated maybe more than you do.
There are national reporters, I imagine, who might be coming through. Sheila's a national reporter who lives locally, so by all means.
Some say the best national reporter.
So there's a certain number of reporters who are allowed to watch practice every day. Is that right now? Are you guys, since you're the, you know, you're the daily coverage, are you going to be able to go to every practice? Is that your expectation?
Yeah, so I am confident that every day when it's not raining, that we will be there. There's a lot to figure out there. Days when it rains, it's trickier just because when they go indoors, there's for obvious reasons, there is a specific head count for the amount of people who are allowed indoors when they practice. But outside practices, which as we know, the Eagles typically do, I'm confident Bo and I will be there, and hopefully you can be there when time permits.
Okay, so you can now, do you have to get any testing or temperature or anything done to be part of watching the outdoor practice or no?
So there are different tiers, and for most reporters, no. Now, if you are in a tier that goes indoors, then you are subject to daily testing.
Right, because, just the outdoor. Yeah. Okay.
I thought the outdoor you do have to get tested. Not, no?
You get temperature checked.
Oh, okay.
Temperature checked. Okay.
I don't believe you do the daily testing.
So it would be like temperature check, wear a mask, watch practice,
and then
you're out of there, right? I mean, you're not...
you can't be anywhere around. Yeah,
and all the availability is still via Zoom.
Still virtual. Exactly.
Yeah, I probably come off as kind of a jerk here. I know Zach's been working on this for like 6 weeks, and it's like you're asking me the week before.
No. It's still very much there's still a lot of things to figure out.
Okay. Well, yeah, I would certainly like to see a couple. All these are going to be sort of intense, probably, right? Since they've had this ramp up period.
I think they practice on the field,
right?
Not intense.
Yeah.
All right, let's just move on.
But yes, the practices will be intense. There will be more scrimmages in practice than there have been in past seasons. And time is not on their side or anyone else's side. If the season goes on as planned, you're looking at 2 weeks of practice, really, of training camp type practice, and then they kind of pivot into regular season mode. The regular season is scheduled to begin a month from tonight, actually. So we're taping this on August 10th, the kickoff of the Chiefs game. September 10th.
Is it on a Monday? I see.
September 10th. Yeah, a month, not 4 weeks, a month from tonight.
Good pedantic distinction. Thank you. Okay. I regretted last week that we didn't make more of a bit out of the idea of Deuce Staley, like really trying to take advantage of being head coach and like busting out all these tricks he's been thinking about for his entire life. Of like what it would be to be a head coach, really giving all these game day speeches before every day of practice, but here we are.
Oh, I thought maybe you would give it some thought, and we're going to hit us with a nice like bit or something. But apparently,
just,
not.
Is there like regret,
a Kirk Cousins type impression that you have
of Deuce?
Yes.
No, I'll have to work on it. I gotta have to think about it. Okay, so we have talked to a bunch of Eagles over the past week. We've talked to Darius Slay, Nikhil Roby-Coleman, Brandon Graham, Miles Sanders, Zach Ertz, Rodney McLeod, Jalen Mills, and Fletcher Cox. Zach, what do you think were the biggest takeaways? I can tell you mine is that I've had Casey with me for a couple of these, and he always asks what the guy, what you know, what the person's name is. And today with Darius Slay, he's like, "Who's that?" And I said, "That's Darius." And he said, "I don't want Darius. I want Fletcher." So apparently Fletcher Cox made a big impact on
very
young
nice
Casey.
Good with the kids.
I want Fletcher.
That's nice. Okay. Listen, I'm ready to name him Defensive Player of the Year prediction now. I got nothing else to go on.
So Zach Ertz, I thought was probably among the most substantive. Is that fair to say, Bo?
Yes, and also the one that made me almost wake up a napping Casey Wolf for yelling an F-bomb loudly when I was realizing I was not going to get called on.
Yeah, I did feel for you there. No, I mean seriously, it's tough in these cases. There was one where we were both
tough out there.
Where we were both shut out. Ronnie McLeod, we were both shut out. Right? Yeah.
That's inappropriate. You got to get one per outlet. Come on.
I'll make
some calls.
So in Zach Ertz's his case, first off, non-Eagles related, he came prepared to give an impassioned plea to lawmakers about high school football, that if he was talking about the effect that high school football had on his life, as you guys can read in Shield's story from 2017, after he – no, 2018, right?
That was 18.
2018, so, yeah.
Yeah, it was when he broke the record. 2018, that he when his parents separated as a teenager, football became the outlet for him, and that – if he did not have high school football, it would have, he doesn't know what would have happened in his life. So he understands that the state has been looking into whether there should or should not be high school football this year. And his plea was that if there's not football, that they find a way to keep the teenagers occupied during that time. Because he said that what they're dealing with is 1/1000th of what he was dealing with back then.
I think vice versa.
Yeah, vice versa. That's right.
What he was dealing with is 1/1000th of what they're dealing with. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. I thought I got the 1/1000th.
That would have been quite a flex. If
I would have loved if he went through that, and then like, and what they're going through doesn't matter at all. I thought it was nice because it wasn't just like this concussion, Uncle Lee, let them play. Like this thing isn't real. It was like, If it's decided that it's not safe to play, figure something else out to do something for these kids. I thought that was a good message.
Yeah, and I thought it was good because it was important to him. You know, it didn't come up in a question.
Right.
He brought it up because he wanted to use his platform. So I kind of respect players when they do that, when they verbalize something that's important to them. But from a football perspective, let's see. He was. I asked him about where he ranks relative to the other tight ends and how that factors into his contract. And I brought that up for two reasons. First off, he had a tweet when the Manning rankings came out, and he was well below Kittle and Kelsey and Gronkowski. And then also when you talk about his potential contract. It's thought that when Kittle and Kelsey signed their deals, Ertz would be next. And Ertz said that he views himself in the class with those guys, doesn't take a backseat to them at all, thinks they all work well in their offenses. And he's been clear since he came to Philadelphia that he wants to retire in Philadelphia.
One thing that I've been curious about is I talked to someone who works for a team, and they were, you know, talking about how they're sort of worried about like the pregame intensity, like without fans, like how are guys going to sort of work themselves into like a froth of anger, especially guys on defense. And so I asked Brandon Graham about that, and he gave a very impromptu speech about how he's ready to, you know, knock the snot out of everybody, and it's not going to matter for him. But I don't know. It's something that's sort of, we'll see how it plays out on the field. Maybe if
that was a good answer.
He did give a good answer. Yeah,
and it was good video. It's always good when Bo asks the question that John Clark tweets out.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Oh yes.
Well, there you go. And I think I think Slay was talking about that today too, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, he was saying he needs to figure out how to get motivated before the game. He might just put a picture of Jimmy Kemsky up and just do you want to explain the context of that, Bo?
Yeah, sure. Jimmy who has like done the work on watching all of Darius Slay's targets last year and like some of his missed tackles and ones that like didn't look like he was given great effort. And so he tried to sort of tiptoe around it, and Darius Slay was having none of it. He's like, are you implying that I'm a bad tackler? Next question. Like, not the case. So, I think I think Jimmy Kemsky, Darius Slay is a feud to watch this season.
Wait, so did Slay had Slay like seen the piece that Jimmy wrote or anything?
No.
But no, Jimmy asked him.
Oh, Jimmy asked the question. Okay.
Yeah, Jimmy asked if the coaches are really emphasizing like tackling improvement or tackling to Slay, and first he was saying like he didn't understand the question.
Yeah.
And then when Jimmy was like, "So I guess it's not something you think you need to improve on," he's like, "No, that's a next question."
Well, it's good to be confident, but I am firmly Team Jimmy on this from the Darius Slay piece that I wrote. I mean, that stood out in a big, big way that his tackling was not good at all last year. I mean, there were plays where he was not getting anywhere near the guy. He certainly was not, you know, you can say, all right, he was kind of mailing it in. I don't know if that's a great, a great thing either. You could certainly make that as an excuse that he was angry at the coach and, you know, the team wasn't going anywhere. But that was absolutely a big, big issue, in my opinion, from his play last year. So I think a totally fair question.
Well, Sheila, I'm glad you said that because please welcome to the show Darius Slay.
Darius, how are you?
Okay, anyway.
Darius, who do you think won the Jeffrey? Are you with the two Hall of Famers who voted for me on the Jeffrey Lurie draft, or did you think Zach or Bo, you know, had an okay roster?
Yeah, to me, it was pretty clear that the people who took it seriously all thought that Team Bo had come away with the victory. So I thought that was pretty.
Oh, Ray Dinger, how dare you? The Hall of Famer. He took like 48 hours, wrote this nice analysis. He said it was a fun exercise. He really looked after it. Man, that is a shots fired. And then Mike Quick, come on. Mike Quick doesn't need to be spending a lot of time on this. He looks at it. He sees what he sees, and he knows which team is the best. You know, Khalid Wolf, you know, that was disappointing. Back in the day, you know, the only one giving me any shots on TV, going on the Fox 29 show, I thought, but I guess, did she know whose roster was? She did know whose roster
was. She did
was.
Know. She did
All
know,
right,
yes.
So, yeah, that one kind of hurt. But you know what? Maybe she just felt she knew Bo wasn't going to win, so she gave you one. That's okay.
I actually think Darius Slay would vote for Shield's team because – based on those
don't
rules,
need to be
like
giving Sheila anything else.
No, I think he's going to take a shot at me here.
Yeah, because the Eagles' career doesn't actually matter. It's just like the name and reputation of the player.
He sees T.O.
Yeah, and Randall Cunningham.
Backup quarterback. Give me a break.
My backup quarterback won the Super Bowl as the backup quarterback. Shield gets credit for his backup quarterback who was benched in what, week 7 that year, week 8 in that year?
Well, I mean, look at the pieces around him. I was next level on the exercise. You surround him with the right talent. Anyone who's smart, who's a Hall of Famer, can see that. By the way, I do
want to Same thing with Bud Carson as well, right?
I love that he got recognized.
I actually think that the Bud Carson love is fine.
Yeah,
for that 1 year, for the 94 season?
Yeah, but he was good. He was a good coordinator in that year.
I mean, I didn't need to sell this, but I would have sold it as, well, Sean McDermott's going to be my DB's coach, learn everything he needs to, and then he'll take over.
Just add guys.
What are you talking? I can give a whole coaching staff. But I do want to give Tommy Lawler a shout-out. Even though he made the wrong final decision with Bo, I thought that was a joy to read, the Q&A you guys had about
condensed
the different rosters.
There were some sidelines that just to condense for readings. Sick. Well said, idiot.
Yeah. Just his knowledge and like of all the. He's breaking out like remember what Irving Fryer did against the cow or whatever is. It's like, oh my gosh, I would read one of these Q&As where you just throw them random questions, like 10 questions a month or something, and just have him answer them. Because
that was
a lot of fun.
What I took out at the end was I was asking if there were guys who stood out that didn't get picked. And there was, you know, Carlos Edmonds came up, but there was a guy he thought that you should have made your left tackle, Shield, who was, I think, the Eagles' first-round pick in 94, but then retired after, like, a year because he wanted to smoke weed, was the story, I guess. And
I think
said,
that's Bernard Williams, right?
Bernard Williams. And he would have fit in perfectly on your team.
Mm. Yeah, well, we'll have him as a backup. Vitae is better in the backup role anyway, so.
So there you go. Anything else from the Zooms, Zach, that you thought was worth talking about?
It was our first time speaking with Miles Sanders, who was understated about what his role is going to be, or about his preparedness for the role, but is basically being the featured guy this year, and that's been confirmed by Deuce Staley. Let's see, what else did we have? We had Brandon
Slay
Graham,
and Roby Coleman today, Brandon Graham, Jalen Mills, and McLeod earlier in last week, and Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, McLeod and Mills. It was a lot about the adjustment that Mills is making the safety. I'll go with McLeod for a second. It seems if you're kind of reading between the lines, Rodney, I don't want to say he's insulted, but is like kind of is pushing back at this notion that all of a sudden he has to become a leader now, because his contention is that he's been a respected player in that locker room since he signed in 2016. I think there's accuracy to that. Obviously, Malcolm Jenkins cast a big shadow, but it's not as if Rodney McLeod was like this no-name guy who all of a sudden is getting a shot now. And that was the way McLeod was explaining it. Is that fair, Bo?
Yeah, I think that is fair. And I think it is fair to read a little bit into him sort of taking umbrage at that. And then the last thing I think was the Fletcher Cox one, which you can read about in the story Zach wrote about the trip to his ranch that all the defensive linemen took. So make sure you check that out on The Athletic. And while you're there, why don't you read about Vinny Curry's sneaker collection?
Yes. I want to make one thing clear with the Fletcher Cox story is I was simply writing about what the experience was like. I'm by no means advocating for the fact that they weren't wearing masks in that photo or their compliance or vigilance with COVID, even though Fletcher Cox mentioned the two cleaning women that he had at the ranch. But it's something that a few people reached out about, and I understand completely if you have an issue with it. I was not providing any commentary on what was going on there.
I think that's fair. And of course, if you want to read that story and get angry at Zach, you can subscribe to The Athletic with 40% off at theathletic.com/birdswithfriends. And before we get to the questions in the next part of our episode, Zach, I think it's time that we hear a very special word from our new sponsor. Now, I can't necessarily endorse this new sponsor. We've got one guy speaking for the whole company. Talk about, like, we can't get this guy's head even bigger. Mr. Indochino, Mr. Modern Man.
Oh, am I supposed to address you here? I wasn't sure
address,
if we were still going.
That was the first time in a very long time that I actually thought that I lost internet.
Listen, they saw a bald Indian man with a nose that is a little larger than normal, and they thought, this is the guy we want sponsoring our product, and so they chose me. Listen, that's how it goes. I have, it was a wonderful experience, and, I had nothing to do with it. They chose me, so what can I do about it?
You believe this, Zach?
I do believe it. I'm looking forward to using that promo code, and perhaps I can be the model or the spokesperson in the future. But I'm looking forward to experiencing this product.
They say it's the pants that make someone the best football writer in the country.
You know, we should say that Marissa has told us that we have video capabilities now for this podcast. So I don't know if anyone out there would be interested in watching an episode of Birds with Friends on YouTube. But if you are, you know, leave a review and let us know. Maybe I would say if we get what do you think a reasonable number is?
On the Apple Podcast page?
It's got to be on the Apple Podcast page. Like 10?
Yeah,
20?
I think
10. All right. If we get 10 of you who go to the Apple Podcast page, you can rate us whatever you want, but you leave a review saying that you would watch a YouTube episode of Birds with Friends, we can do that. You guys can use my nice promo code SHIELD, get yourself some Indochino, and we can all be looking sharp for this debut.
And if you care about looking sharp, you probably care about being well-groomed. Well, fellas, let me tell you, are you prepared to unveil your summer body? The beaches are opening, the sun is shining, and the bushes must be tamed. Manscaped is here to ensure your post-quarantine body is ready for the wild. Manscaped is dedicated to helping you level up your full-body grooming game. They have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the essential Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This is the best trimmer on the market for those of you in need of a chest shave. This third generation trimmer features skin-safe technology to reduce manscaping accidents. You can also adjust settings to get a length you like, and you can stay on top of it with almost no effort at all. For a limited time, subscribers, you can subscribe to the Perfect Package and get a new blade refill to your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. For a limited time, subscribers get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag, $39 value add, and the patented high-performance reduced chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code THEATHLETIC20 at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code THEATHLETIC20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code THEATHLETIC. And for a limited time, subscribers get not one but two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag, $39 value, and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. So go to manscaped.com today and use code THEATHLETIC20.
Now, Shil, what's the threshold for commenters or reviewers on Apple Podcasts to make a Manscaped demonstration part of the Zoom?
To make it part of the Zoom. No, I thought you meant like post something on there, and I don't think those reviews accept video, thankfully, in this case.
All right. Let's get to the questions. We've got lots of questions. We'll start with a Peckness Migrate from Andy. Peckness Migrate, these commercial cliche lines that we're getting a lot of these days. In these unprecedented times, we're all in this together, or our new normal.
I would definitely like to migrate the new normal.
Okay. The TNN?
Yeah, I think that we've had enough of that. I think
I'm hoping this new normal doesn't last much longer.
I know that's right.
But it's going to.
What were the other ones? In these unprecedented times?
Yeah, and then we're all in this together.
I actually want to migrate all of them, but I guess we can pack we're all in this together.
Yeah, I agree.
And we can nest in these unprecedented times. That's harmless.
I agree with that.
I'm pecking the unprecedented times because I'm hoping that we don't have to use that very often, and I am nesting we're all in this together because that's a good sentiment even beyond this.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. All right. Your sincerity, it never stops. It's really something to behold.
I mean, you're like the guy who's going to like start tearing up at the Coca-Cola commercial or something. I mean, come on.
Well, now I'm not above crying at a commercial, but.
Oh, well, it's pathetic.
Woodpecker, you rather have a very spicy meal with Brandon Graham and spend the next 24 hours with him in a small room, or spend a day with Jason Babin in Paris?
I've never been to Paris, so I would rather go to Paris even if Jason Babin is my company there. The idea, as gregarious as Brandon Graham is, the idea of being in the small room after the spicy food is not very enticing.
Yeah, I think you can get you could get a story out of being in Paris with Jason Babin.
Yeah, Paris. I mean, it's all about the location. You're getting a trip to Paris out of it, so you don't have to. Not like you got to hang out with him every second. There were no stipulations like that, so I think that's the obvious choice. But that's a very like on-brand bird. That's like a loyal listener right there.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Birdline from Fransky in LA. Teams that play all 16 games versus days after February 7th, 2021, that the Super Bowl is actually played.
Oof. How much time did they give themselves in like the initial thing with the Super Bowl? They gave themselves, what, a couple weeks, right?
I think so. Something like that, yeah.
So I will say days after February 7th that the Super Bowl is played as the higher number.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I'm going with that as the higher number. I think 32 days after it, you're looking at 4-plus weeks. I'm not sure if it's pushed back 4-plus weeks.
So then you think it? So you think all teams are going to play 30? I'm confused about your answer.
Yes, yeah. I think that the higher number is the days. Yes. I understood that correctly, right?
Oh, no, wait. No. I'm saying the other way.
Yeah.
Maybe I misunderstood
it. I think the higher number, you think...
I think the
so you don't think that teams are going to play 16 games?
I don't. I don't think all of them are going to. I don't think there's going to be 32 teams playing 16 games.
I think 32 teams play 16 games.
Okay. Yeah. So we're on the opposite end. Okay.
Yeah. So 32 is the higher number. So I understood that correctly. Correct.
Well, you're assuming it's going to. You know,
you're
it could
saying
be
that
two
it's
going to
be the teams. You're saying it's going to be the teams. Is going to be a higher number than the days after the date that it says it's going to be played.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's what.
Yeah,
yes.
Marissa, just cut this part out, please.
All right. Next up, we have a Peckness migrate for Sheil and Zach. These are bow related things. A 5-plus minute soliloquy about the NFL's COVID response. Me assigning bird puns and me giggling through an erectile dysfunction ad.
Well, I feel like we've already had all of those in this episode. So I have to Peckness migrate?
Yes.
I would probably migrate the bird puns.
How dare you?
I would peck the...
We're
going to
be asking
one.
For a mea culpa for that.
This is tough. What were the other two? It was the giggling. And then what was the third one?
The COVID.
I will nest the giggling, and I will peck the 5-minute soliloquy.
Okay.
I will peck the soliloquy. I will nest the puns, and I will, I'll kill the. The giggling. I'll kill the giggling.
See, Zach wants Zach's the loyal.
Migrate.
Adam.
Not only that, but he's going full Wentz on the bird. He's killing it instead of making it migrate.
I am migrating the puns.
All right, a football one. Peckness migrate for the next 5 years of their careers. Now, I don't know what that would mean for a peck, but I guess it would mean you get 1 year. It's Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, and Derek Barnett.
All right, so you get one for 5 years, one for 1 year, and one you don't get at all?
Yeah. I would assume that that's the ask, yeah.
Well, that's a tough one. Zach, you got an answer?
Are we factoring in the contracts?
Yeah, I mean.
Or are we just looking
as is. I think as is right now.
Yeah, I think
so. So, yes, the contracts count.
Okay, yeah, because I think Fletcher has another big deal left in him, and I'm not ready to give that deal. So then I will go Fletcher for this year. I will go Hargrave for 3 years, and I will go Barnett for 5 years.
Wait, there's no 1, 3 years, 5 years. It's you cut. You're cutting
that's
somebody.
What
no, no, 1, 5, 1, and 0.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. So Fletcher for 1 year,
and Fletcher is signed through 2022.
He is. They can get out of it next year, I think, for not a lot of pain, but it's also not a crazy amount of money.
So then,
if he keeps up his what should be his level of play.
Yeah, I will peck Fletcher. I will nest Barnett, and I will migrate Hargrave.
I probably do the same thing. Barnett is a worse player right now than Hargrave, but he's younger, and Hargrave is an easier type of player to find, I think. And I don't think that Barnett's going to get a crazy deal.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, it's going to be 25.
Young pass rushers who hit the market with any type of production generally get a nice deal. So you're going to have to pay Barnett when? After, what is it? He's under contract.
This is his last year, right? Or no.
No,
you got the fifth year option.
Yeah.
Which it still goes up. So that would be, you know, around $10 million. But then, so for 3 of those years, you're paying him a lot of money. You know what? Barnett is probably the smart one. I think push comes to shove. I think I would
You keep Fletcher.
I'm saying Fletcher. Yeah. I don't know though. You're getting so
he's
you're
the
getting,
best player. Like
you're getting him at his 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. So yeah. I feel like he can.
It's
still,
not crazy.
It's not crazy, but it is a little scary, I guess. But yeah, so I think I would nest Fletcher. I feel like Barnett is solid, and there's upside there, but also what we've. The production we've seen so far is replaceable.
Yes.
More than Fletcher Cox's peak of his power. So yeah. I guess I would keep Barnett for this year, and I would migrate Hargrave only because, you know, you've got Malik Jackson on the roster anyway, so you can probably make up for that easier.
Well, yeah, but Malik's still going to be playing on the outside so much that...
Yeah, you guys didn't mention him in that defensive end conversation. I mean, right. I thought he's going to be playing defensive end 90% of the time. You guys don't know. But this guy's capable of doing that.
Birdline from Kill a Cow. All-purpose yards for Miles Sanders during his Eagles tenure or Tony Pauline's pass code?
I'm going with Miles Sanders. That's a good one.
Ooh, you think he's approaching 7,000 all-purpose yards?
Yes.
Kill a Cow had a response to a national reporter this morning where I clicked on the National Reporter's tweet and he was the first comment that left me at 6:30 in the morning in my kitchen just dying.
I want to know
myself. It was a prominent NFL network TV reporter.
Was it a Belvedere response?
Yes.
Okay. I think I did see it. Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. So
just to put this out, Miles Sanders last season had 1,300 yards from scrimmage. Okay. So we're looking at what 7,000, 6,969, basically.
Right. Well, now we don't know if Tony has changed his password, but we do know it's a four-digit
number. Well,
let's
assume. I think we know he hasn't changed his password.
So you're looking at 5,700 all-purpose yards. Okay, let's say that he has 3 to 4 years. Let's say he has 4 years as the Eagles' starting running back. Okay, that would require a second contract. 4 more years, I'm saying. You're looking at 1,425 over those 4 years. I think that is a fair.
So you're, oh, yeah, so I feel great about it. Yeah, okay. I would definitely take Sanders.
Okay. I'll take Tony, and maybe he's changing his password to 9696. From Micadelphia, what's the best way to beat the virus? A 3-4 defense, zone, man coverage, or do you do a lot of RPO on offense? Well, the best defense is a good offense.
I mean, I don't really understand the question.
I would say man coverage. Every person needs to take responsibility here, and
I think
and
it's
do,
zone.
Do their
I think
part.
you gotta get everybody in their own pods.
Space, yeah. You don't want to be pressed. You know, press coverage is bad. Yeah, you gotta get man out of there.
Yeah, you want everybody covering just their own little area, and you know,
you see
not
zones.
You don't want to be following people across your zones.
That's true. It's definitely zone. It's zone, no pattern match. It's zone, spot drop. Just get to your spot. You got space. You know where you're supposed to be. Don't move. You know, kind of like what we see this Eagles offense. In,
right. If two of us are close together, someone's doing something wrong.
Yeah. It can't be man. And what was the other one? A 3-4?
Right.
A 3-4 would probably work well. You got some space there.
A little bit, yeah.
You see, to use this analogy, I would argue we've been in zone, and there have been holes in the zone, and that's essentially
right,
the problem.
Well,
that
too.
Maybe
so,
yeah, it's because we need a better coach.
Well, that's Zach's explanation. There makes sense. Actually, we've been making it a little bit too easy for the opponent. Mm.
We have soft spots that are
man that
problem.
That yeah. question went from me thinking let's move on to let's spend another 20 minutes on this.
What kind of offense do you think the virus is running?
Well, what was it? Oh, his other one, he said RPO, right?
Right.
Wasn't that one of his?
Yeah, yeah.
RPO.
That's an offense, not a defense, right?
Yeah, so. You get a couple options. No, I don't think we need a couple options. I think we need one. I think that's been our problem.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need one play call out of the huddle. Everyone on the same page.
Yeah, we need a well-coached zone.
Yeah,
I think we just need the victory formation. Everyone just take a knee and pause, yeah, right?
We don't want to be reading this bad boy out. That's been a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Peckness migrate these streaming services from Pat Higgins. Netflix, HBO Max, and Disney Plus.
Ooh, Peckness migrate, huh?
Yeah.
I think Netflix is probably an easy nest.
I think it is, but I've been getting frustrated with Netflix. There's too many options, and I don't think my algorithm is working great right now, and I find myself just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and then going to somewhere else.
That's true. You have to use the My List function, I find.
Yeah.
Although I say that, but we never actually watch what's on my list, no, but we do have a bunch of stuff on there. But it's so versatile. I mean, you know, you got the kid stuff, you got the grown-up stuff, you got movies, you got shows, you got stand-up, you got I mean, it really has all those things. Disney Plus, you know, it kind of depends on your kid's situation. You really can make a case for that. Mm. But I think I would be okay pecking that for like 1 year. You know, watch everything you want on there. HBO Max, I don't know that I fully get the HBO. Like, do I? I don't need HBO Max to watch my HBO shows, do I? Or do I now?
I think eventually you do. Yeah, HBO Go is going away.
Oh, well. Well, then that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm nesting Netflix. I'm pecking HBO Max, and I'm migrating Disney Plus.
Bad father.
If pecking
there are children's shows on both HBO Max and
HBO has children's shows?
Yes, I was just going to say HBO has the full Sesame Street library.
Yes.
Oh,
so if peck for me means I can just pick one show on the streaming platform, then I'm pecking HBO Max. If not, I got to nest it.
All right, yeah, maybe that's true. I didn't know. I haven't had a go-to HBO show, I feel like, in months. So
you're missing out on well, I told you about Betty, which I liked, and then the show that's going on now, I May Destroy You, is very good. It's a heavy watch, I wouldn't recommend it for you, but it's very good.
Okay.
He also wanted to know, he had a football question, how we think if all of college football gets canceled and moved to the spring, how that will affect the draft.
Well, I think that it goes back to a lot of the stuff we discussed before the draft and which I wrote about on The Athletic, which is that teams should be approaching the draft with a high level of uncertainty, realizing they don't know everything. They should not be overconfident. This is the whole theory of accumulating picks. And so whereas there's the theory out there that, you know, you should trade your picks for players because, man, who knows how hard this draft is going to be. I think it's actually the opposite. You should be accumulating picks because you should embrace the uncertainty, and you shouldn't think that, you know, necessarily, all right, I want to move up in the draft or I want a high first. Like, you should be trying to trade out because of the uncertainty and getting more bites at the apple. But
yeah,
it's
this
not
is the perfect year to be getting as many picks as possible.
Yeah. It's not like the overall talent pool is going to be worse. You know, it's going to be, there's going to be the same number of good players as there always are. It's just a matter of, it's going to be, might be harder to identify them, but guess what? It's hard to identify them anyway. So you should really, really embrace that. You don't know, you know what you don't know. What's the thing? I don't know. Whatever.
Right.
You should lack confidence, accumulate picks. So I think that would be a wise way to approach it.
I saw someone tweet today something about how, like, this will make the combine more important or something. And how, like, you know, those impressions made at the combine will carry more weight. And my initial reaction was definitely to, like, whoever is overcorrecting for the combine, like, give me the guys who were higher on draft boards before then. Like, just because if we're going to be overcorrecting to only a couple things, I think the odds are that, you know, the initial, you know, stack rank of the prospects is probably going to be a little bit more accurate, but who knows. All right, next up, Peckness migrant for the Eagles head coach, Steve Adazio, Chip Kelly again, and Jack Del Rio.
Oh, boy, this is a Bo special. Bo, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, I'll take it. I think this is actually easy. I think it's
migrate's easy.
I think it's migrate Adazio.
Yes.
100%. One of the biggest scumbags in all of
God.
I mean, I'm sorry. He is. And proven time and time again. So I hope he never gets another job in football. I think it would be really fun for Chip Kelly to come back for one more season. I think that'd be a lot of fun to watch. So I'm nesting that. And then I'm migrating Jack Del Rio because that's fireworks.
Whoa, hold on. You migrated two people.
Nesting Del Rio. Nesting Del Rio.
Okay, all right.
Nesting Del Rio because that's fireworks all day long, and it gives everybody the opportunity to finally see a head coach punch me in the face, probably.
A head coach punch you in the face?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I think migrate definitely Adazio. The other part is tough. I don't know. I might is this for like your own, like your team that you're running?
Well, if it is, I mean, Del Rio has been a much better head coach than Chip Kelly.
Yeah, Del Rio brought two teams to the playoffs.
All right, look at this, the version of Del Rio though you're getting now, Bo.
I'm talking. I'm talking about it. I'm giving it from my perspective of covering the team. Like I get to cover a garbage fire. That seems like fun.
Yeah. I don't know. Del Rio stuff has been especially troubling.
To watch a man's descent into madness up close. I mean, there's an emotional zoo aspect here that we can't ignore.
I think I would nest Chip and keep Del Rio for a peck.
Okay.
I don't think I can be nested to that.
Well, also, not a guy you want to be pecking.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't really describe any of them as that for me personally, but teach his own.
Do you have an answer, Zach?
I would go with what Bo's order was. Okay. I'll go with Chip for a year. I'll take Del Rio's coaching career. I'm not condoning, you know. Well, I'll just say I will take Del Rio's coaching career, and I am definitely migrating.
Boy, me and a couple of Jack Del Rio lovers on this pod. Okay.
I think you know that's not right. Peckness migrate car audio, audiobooks, music, and podcasts.
I'll jump in first. I am definitely nesting podcasts. A big one for podcasts. I am migrating audiobooks. Much prefer to read it, and then I am pecking just what's it, radio or music? Is that what it is?
Music.
I will.
So you're getting one. You can get a full. Full album if you want.
I'm much more of a listener than I like words more than music.
But you're still migrating the audiobooks.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
You know, audiobook is on my list of like things I wish I loved, I want to love, and I just have not had success with. I mean, I've probably signed up for like the Audible trial on and off from, you know, every family email like five times. It's really every off season. It's like, all right, I'm going to, you know, this is going to be really efficient. I have all these books I want to read. I'm going to be able to listen to them. And I just can't do it. I mean, I'll find it playing and 15 minutes will pass by and my mind was wandering and none of it soaks in. And so I agree with Zach. I've gotten back to the physical copy of the book before bed. This off season has been very good to me. I've enjoyed it. Spend a half hour. I feel like it helps me sleep to not look at a screen right before I go to bed. And so I'm migrating the audiobook. I wish I liked the audiobook more. I wish I could get into it, but I haven't been able to. I'm definitely nesting podcasts, big podcast guy. And then I will peck the music, which, you know, I feel like that's perfect for me because once in a while I'll throw something on. But I can't say I'm a big music listener at this point in my life.
I'm actually very happy to nest the audiobook. Peck the audiobook. That's the perfect thing for me. I like if we're doing a long drive, give me an audiobook and Rachel and Casey sleeping in the car. That's great for me. On the drive up to Maine and back, I think I got through one book and a half.
What books?
Convenience Store Woman was the one on the way up. That was short, and it was very good. And then Conversations with Friends is the one that I still have not finished that I'm working my way through. But that's the thing is once the car trip's over, you know, it's been 3 weeks and I haven't listened to it, so it's still just
sitting
there.
Like when you're going for a walk.
But that's why that's why the peck is good for me.
Okay.
But yeah.
Great questions today, by the way.
Good stuff. People bringing it. Woodpecker, you rather have been present to witness Zach's valet story or have been there to see his face after waking up and learning of Doug Peterson's positive test?
Oh, my gosh. That is hard. Zach, have you slept in the last week?
It's interesting you ask this because every night when my wife is going to sleep, she says, you're going to sleep. And I said, I just need to make sure nothing is happening. And I'm typically one who, like, I will read an article or books or, you know, I have a whole list of the things that I'm reading at night.
but she finds me just scanning Twitter just to make sure nothing happens.
Why don't you
but
just
no,
set
I,
up a
I
Tim McManus tweet notification on your phone?
Yeah, that'd be good.
I could just steal Shield's phone to get that.
I can have it so that every time he texts me, it like gets forwarded to you guys. If you like, there I can ask him to set that up. I think I was going to tweet at you, Zach, last night at like 8:30 and just say you awake. But I know how hard you are on yourself, so I couldn't bring myself to do it. If it was Bo, I would have definitely done it. I think I would have liked to see, maybe it's recency bias, but man, I would have liked to see your face when you woke up.
Yeah, for me, that's an easy one because the story of the valet is like, it's so good the way Zach tells the story.
I can picture it easily.
Yeah. I can picture it easily. The face of the Peterson, I think that would be a lot of fun to see. Yeah. Plus, you know, the surprise that you would have would be exacerbated by one of us being in your bedroom.
that would be a surprise.
Leave it to Bo to take it the creepy angle.
Peckness migrate from Matt Chando. Straight up. Andy Reid, Doug Peterson, Dick Vermeil.
Well, Bo, you had to make this choice, and you nested Doug Peterson.
I sure did, because he's been a better coach for the Philadelphia Eagles than Andy Reid was.
I will nest Andy. I will peck. Although Dick Vermeil for 1 year, you know, he got burned out. So maybe for 1 year. No, I will peck Doug and migrate Dick Vermeil. That's probably also maybe a recency bias thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I am nesting Andy, pecking Doug, migrating Dick Vermeil.
I'm nesting Doug and pecking Andy. All right, next. How are we doing on time?
We got a few more to go to. Yeah, are we done? Yeah, I'll see you guys.
I think we got a few more. This is a good question. Two general questions. We always say Bird fans are extremely knowledgeable about football. Does Shiel winning the Lurie draft prove that to be a fallacy?
I would say it proves the opposite. I mean, the fans voted overwhelmingly the same way as a Hall of Fame journalist and a Hall of Fame player.
Everybody fell for the shiny objects and didn't read the rules.
I give Shiel credit. He built the team for the fans.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, to be fair, I do. I take it as myself. The mistake I made was wrongly assuming that everybody was going to read the rules and follow the rules.
Yeah, that's the mistake I made. Is that like if a team drafts an offensive lineman early, no one's getting up and cheering, right? You know, so Shiel knew his audience and picked for his
Shiel's
audience.
A historian. He knows that if you give the vote to the populace, oftentimes you're going to get disastrous results.
I mean, not what, you know, I expected from Poe. I thought Zach might give a little congratulations text or something. But listen, I understand, you know, you guys being sore losers. I would be the same way if I lost too. But lucky for me, I don't have to experience that. So I feel good.
I'll say this. In all honesty, I would have.
Don't give him, anything.
No, I would have picked Shiel's team based on the overall group.
You're giving up the game, Zach.
No, just because the shortcoming I had, I do believe, was the coaching staff. I think if you just look at the roster, I would take my roster. But I'm a big quarterback person. I can't get over the quarterbacks on.
You're a big quarterback person, but you can't give him anybody to throw to.
That being said, I was watching recently the Miracle of the Meadowlands Part 2, and Michael Vick was so good in that second half.
He sure
that
was.
That was as impressive a quarterback performance as I've ever seen.
Too bad he couldn't sustain it, or he would have had a nice career with the Eagles.
Well, if he had a good offensive line, as Tommy Lawler pointed out, and Doug Peterson as his head coach, he would have been fine. Peckness migrate, full strap sandals.
Andy Reid never maximizes his quarterback's abilities.
Slides and thong flip-flops.
What was the first one?
So like, a full strap sandal, which I'm assuming that's like a, you know, like
Tiva.
Like a Tiva.
Do they make Tivas
anymore?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a migrate for me for sure.
Yeah, that's a migrate. Yeah.
Slides and then the, you know, the flip-flops the with just the thong thing.
I like both of the other two. Now, I find the
I feel weird calling it a thong, but.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, can we just call it a flip-flop?
Let's call it a flip-flop,
Take it easy, Perks. Okay. the flip-flop I find is like if you're going to be doing a good amount of walking or you're running around with the kids or, you know, something like that, I feel like if you get a good flip-flop, you can really make that work. Whereas the slides is like, you know, if I'm going out to get the mail, you know, getting the trash cans at the end of the driveway, that type of thing. I like that for that usage. So I would probably nest the flip flop. Was this a Peck Nest Migrate?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Migrate the Tevas and Peck the slides.
I'm with you.
I'm with you. I'm with you as well.
Big flip flop guy. The slides are good for. We used to do this in camp. But you play a little sandal golf. You know, like instead of frisbee golf, you sort of kick the sandals off as far as you can and try to get it to a hole. Fun times.
That sounds terrible.
Childhood memories. Good stuff. Peck Nest Migrate coffee, flavored water, and juice.
Couldn't be easier.
I will nest the flavored water.
Oh!
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big water person. I'm not a big coffee guy.
Coffee guy.
Yeah, I am pecking the juice, and I'm getting rid of the coffee.
I think I would nest coffee over probably every beverage other than, like, if you said I couldn't have water the rest of my life. Even then, I might have to think about it if you let me have other beverages.
Now, I assume that this is, like, all coffee.
Right.
Like, an espresso or a latte or whatever. Like, I think that you get all of that, right?
What would you choose, Bo, if it was either – if you could only have one the rest of your life, coffee or alcohol, which would you choose?
Oof. I think it'd be good. I would have to choose coffee. It'd be nice to have that decision, like, foisted upon me.
Although, if you could choose alcohol and then turn into a tea guy.
Yeah, I could do that.
Or you could, like, choose coffee and pursue other substances.
Yeah, that's also on the table.
I would nest coffee. I would peck the flavored water and migrate a juice. Come on. We're grown-ups here.
All right. There's a few. Oh, we'll end on this one because it's a football one. Very easy. Sheil, we'll go to you because you know all these guys very well. Peck Nest Migrate, Quez Watkins, John Hightower, and Greg Ward.
I do know these guys. Draft prep, I actually did. Yeah. I mean, when you're naming these guys who've, all right. Quez Watkins, John Hightower, and Greg Ward. Ooh, this is a tough one. I feel like they're – I mean, I would have to probably migrate Greg Ward just because I don't have the upside factor there. And so,
okay, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's wrong. I mean, he can certainly be a fine slot receiver for them this year.
I think he's definitely the one you peck.
Oh, okay. All right. But I can't pick between the other two. I mean, you have a strong opinion about which of the other two, which one's better than the other?
No, but if you're pecking them, you're only getting them for 1 year. And as you've pointed out, it's not like you're going to be getting much out of that one year to begin with.
Ah, all right. You nailed it. That was bad game theory on my part. You're right. You're absolutely right. Greg Ward, you peck. And then I would take my flyer.
And he's like
on
the perfect level of baseline competence that you want on your roster for a season and always trying to replace.
Correct. Yeah. So I would peck Ward. I'll nest a how about a Watkins, and I'll migrate a Hightower.
I think I would do the same.
I have a good game theory. A good game theory anecdote. Okay. I don't know.
Let's hear
one,
it.
No. So I was listening. What was it, Friday to the Daily? It was the interview with Jack Dorsey, and he was talking about at the start of Twitter what he would have done differently, and he said he would have hired more game theorists. To prepare for how people game the system in terms of likes and retweets and things of that nature.
Could hire Dennis.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I would definitely not hire someone who, like, hears the rules of a game an hour, 30 minutes into a podcast and is expected to know every detail of the game.
I can't believe we're ending on a pearl of wisdom from Jack Dorsey.
Well, another, you can change
another,
that.
Another ghoul that we have in our midst. All right, last one then. Woodpecker, you rather, these are the sports seasons. So you get one of them is a whole season. One season starts and then is canceled, and then the other one never plays a game. Baseball, basketball, football.
Baseball definitely never play a game.
I think I got to agree.
Full season, I don't know. We're all probably biased here, but you'd have to choose football. And what's basketball? Starts but doesn't stop.
Right. No, starts and then stops.
I guess I would have to do that. Although, if you wanted to convince me that basketball goes through and football starts and then stops, that would probably be okay with me on a non-personal level. It has been nice, I will say, having, you know, again, I don't know if any of this is the right thing to do or what, but, man, the weekend was very nice to have sports on or just have stuff on in the background or afternoon NBA games. That's why I have enjoyed its return.
Yeah, I would go with that same order. I would nest football completing the season. I would pack basketball playing some of it, and I would migrate baseball.
I think I would do the same, although it's certainly not the way that I see things playing out. A little action going on upstairs with Casey Wolf. You guys hear that?
Yeah, seems
I didn't know if that was from me or from you. There you go.
All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We're going to be back later this week. We'll talk some more Eagles, do a little bit more of a full camp preview, and see, you know, who else is gazzing up Shiel across the football landscape. So. And
make sure you answer Shiel's question about the YouTube because
right. Go leave
because
we do
need
reveal.
To prepare. Yeah, Bo might need to get a second haircut.
I've heard.
I haven't seen him. I've heard rave reviews about how Bo's looking nowadays.
He looks sharp.
Yeah, I need to say we might have to do a video on Thursday.
I feel like this is another case of you've heard from like one person and we're here now. You're the one who's saying you've heard all over the place.
That's false. You haven't seen the text messages I've been receiving from people throughout the Delaware Valley just all day, every day, talking about Bo's haircut. So yes, go to.
I think
Apple
Bo
podcast.
Might need to import this main barber.
I agree.
I'm hoping that maybe we can get Bill Barnwell on his next podcast to talk about my hair.
There you go.
The best haircut in football.
It's definitely possible. But go to the Apple Podcast page, review, and if we get 10 that say we will watch your YouTube, it doesn't have to be live, right? It could be live or it could be recorded and they watch it later. Correct?
I think that's right. I'm not even sure if they can watch it live, but they can definitely watch it later.
Okay. Well, there you go.
They could do both.
There you go.
Yes.
And you can meet Marissa. So.
Yeah, that's right. You can see my terrible. I really have to upgrade my background here in the because I feel like there might be like some video stuff maybe. I don't know happening if there's a season. We might be doing these videos. So I don't know. I don't know how to what to choose as a backdrop.
Well, longtime listeners will remember the Dave Gettleman background I had for our draft night show. And it was sitting around here, and Casey would say, you know, hi, Dave, and bye-bye, Dave, we're going up for dinner. I had to repurpose that bad boy for the live stream we did for The Athletic last week, brought Dave back up to prominence. So
there you go.
Might have to upgrade him again.
Okay. All right. Bye.
All right. for Zach and Shiel, I'm Bo. Thanks for listening. Download, delete, subscribe, all that good stuff. And as always, we love you.